Lord, you are here and you are holy. We're standing, we're sitting in your glory. We pray you'd forgive us when we forget it. But we pray you would remind us often just to open our eyes and remember again that you're here. In all the ordinary moments of our lives, you're here. You're here for us and you're here for our neighbours. Father, I want to pray as we open up your word, would you come, living God, Holy Spirit, would you teach us through your word in a way that will nourish us deeply and do us good and change the way that we walk? Because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've already had good introduction to thinking about Advent, but this is the question I want to put to you this morning. I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? And obviously, at times in life, that's a question we can ask people kind of impatiently. If they're hesitating to take some step that we think they need to take, we say, what are you waiting for? But we mean it this morning more in a deeper way, I think. There's a sense of this question that kind of searches our hearts. What are you waiting for in your life? What are you hoping for? We might say, what are you longing for? All of those, I think, are Advent questions. What are you waiting for, hoping for, longing for? Advent is not just about getting yourself worked up into a Christmassy mood, but Advent is about waiting and hoping and longing. Advent, I think, is about sitting with this question and giving it time and space. What are we waiting for as God's people? More specifically, Advent is about waiting for the coming of Jesus. The word Advent literally just means coming or arriving. And so it's about waiting for the coming of Jesus. And that can seem kind of strange because last time I looked at a calendar, we are living AD and not BC. We live in the centuries after Jesus already came. So in what sense then, what do we mean when we say we are waiting for his coming? And it might surprise you if I say I think it means at least three things. One of our most famous Christmas stories talks about, not from the Bible, but from our culture, talks about the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And maybe in a similar way, we can say when we talk about waiting for the coming of Jesus, we're talking about the fact that we enter into the story of the people of Israel who waited and longed for the Messiah in the past. So that's the coming of Jesus that's now past for us. But we enter imaginatively into the story of Abraham and David and Sarah and all those who were faithful in the Old Testament. And we kind of put ourselves in their sandals and wait with them for the coming of Messiah. So that's one of the things that we mean when we say we imaginatively put ourselves back there. But also, we are waiting for a future coming of Jesus. And actually, in church history, that's the main purpose of Advent. It's not about waiting for Christmas. It's about waiting for the day of his appearing, when we believe that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead and make all things new. And in Advent, we connect with our longing for that day. In 2 Timothy, it actually describes us as Christians as those who long for his appearing. That's who we are. And so Advent is about connecting with that longing. So the coming of Jesus past, we enter into that imaginatively, the waiting for it, the coming of Jesus future, but then also we are waiting for Jesus to come here and now in the present. Here where we are living in the in-between times between his first coming and his second coming, we wait for Jesus to come to where we are by his Spirit. And so you may remember in John 14, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he wasn't speaking there about his second coming, but about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to us where we are. And so there's a coming of Jesus that happens in our ordinary lives. here where we're living in the middle. That's a little something maybe to think about in kind of positioning ourselves as we come into this season. But for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking together at some bits of our most famous Advent hymn. And we're going to let the hymn lead us into Scripture. So we're not just talking about the hymn. But it's probably my favourite song of this time of year is the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Usually in our church, I think like in most churches, we only sing about 3 or 4 verses of the hymn. I don't know if you know that originally there are actually 7 verses. It probably would kill us if we sang them all every time. But the hymn actually has its roots in 7 very old prayers that are probably at least 1,200 years old. They're called the O Antiphons, which is a very strange name, because they were sung as prayers in a particular style that's called antiphonic singing, where it's kind of back and forth, call and response singing. And in a lot of parts of Christian history, Christians would sing one of these prayers every day in the week before Christmas. And each one expresses a hope and a longing, which Christians believe is fulfilled in Jesus. In some ways, you could see each one of these O antiphons it could be seen as a name for Jesus. Let me put them on the screen. These are the 7. They all begin with O, which is why they're O antiphons. 7 names for Jesus, 7 longings. O wisdom, O Adonai, which means Lord. It's the Hebrew word for Lord. O root of Jesse, O key of David, O day spring, or sometimes O rising sun, O king of the nations, or sometimes desire of the nations, and then O Emmanuel. And they're beautiful phrases from Scripture that help us think about what we're longing for and what we're waiting for, that help us think about who Jesus is. I was going to try over the 3 weeks to talk about all of them because they're all brilliant, but I sensed the Lord encouraging me to keep things simple in this season. So we're just going to look at one each week, so we'll only get to cover 3 of them. And I'm not even sure yet which 3 we're going to do, but I know what we're going to do this morning. This morning we're going to look at the one that actually, this is the verse of O Come Emmanuel that in my experience most often gets left out, and it's probably the least sung, but it's one that I really love. So I'm going to put the verse on the screen. And by the way, in the Monday email, I'm going to send you the full 7 verse version of O Come Emmanuel, and you can see how it fits with those 7 prayers that we just put up on the screen. But this is the verse, O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orders all things mightily. To us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. It's a prayer for wisdom. Wisdom was an important theme in the Old Testament. There are books in the Old Testament that we refer to as the books of wisdom, especially Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job. Wisdom bubbles through those books as a theme. Wisdom was seen in the Old Testament as something of great value. So those books sometimes talk about wisdom being something to be desired above gold, above silver, above rubies. It's something to go after, something to love and desire and seek. But it's also spoken of as something that can be elusive and hard to find. It's of great value, but it's also sometimes difficult to grasp hold of and to find. You probably know Solomon was famous in the Old Testament as someone who asked God for wisdom and for a while was known as the wisest man alive. But if you read on in Solomon's life, as his life went on, it was a huge disappointment and in fact a disaster or a series of disasters. So even the best of human wise men in the Old Testament story ends up being a disappointment. And so the people of Israel, they longed for wisdom, they looked for wisdom, they valued wisdom, they found it difficult to find. And so they waited and they longed for true wisdom to come. That was a part of their longing. When will wisdom come? in a deeper way, in a truer way. And so the prophet Isaiah wrote about someone who was going to come. And I think this is one of our most important Advent kind of readings from Isaiah 11. It's actually the one that also talks about the root of Jesse, which is also one of the other prayers that we mentioned. But it talks about someone who's going to come from the household of Jesse, from the family of David. But these are the verses I want to read to us this morning. This is from Isaiah 11. It says about this person who's going to come from the lineage of Jesse, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." How about that for a promise? Alistair's talked to us about holding on to God's promises. That was a promise that the Old Testament people of God held on to. There's one who is going to come who's going to be like this, right? Wisdom is going to come. And so as we put ourselves imaginatively in their shoes, they were waiting for wisdom to come. And then what happened? A child was born in Bethlehem. Spoiler alert. Christmas is coming. And what happened as the child grew? It says in Luke 2, he grew in wisdom and in stature. And even as a child, people were astonished by his wisdom. You remember that scene in the temple with the teachers of the law? And whenever he began his public ministry and he began to teach, people were drawn to him because he did not teach like the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees had a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but he had something else. It was true wisdom. It was authority that he had as he spoke. And so they said, no one ever spoke like this man. We've never heard anything like this before. And as people watched him and listened to him, they came to believe that he wasn't just the wisest person who'd ever lived, though they believed that about him, and we believe that about him, but he was the wisdom of God in person. At the very beginning, Paul read to us from John 1, where it says, the word or logos of God has taken on human flesh and come to live for a while among us. God's wisdom has come down, has come near in the person of Jesus. Jesus was not just one wise man among many in human history. But Paul writes in Colossians 2, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So if you're looking for wisdom, you don't need to look anywhere else. All of it is found in Jesus. Wisdom has come. And so that's us kind of putting ourselves back in the story of Israel and then the arrival of Jesus. But let me come back to the question for us. What are you waiting for? We are living on this side of the incarnation. We believe that wisdom has come and his name is Jesus. And we can listen to the words of Jesus and we can look at the life of Jesus and seek wisdom there. And yet, let me ask the question to maybe search our hearts a little bit. Are we not also a people who are waiting for wisdom? Is there one of us here this morning who doesn't feel that need? Is there anybody here this morning who doesn't feel our lack of wisdom sometimes? And our need for wisdom from on high. Do you ever feel that need? That our own resources of wisdom are not enough, nowhere near enough, and we need wisdom from on high. And so just for the last few minutes, I want to reflect, kind of bringing this in practically to our lives. I want to reflect for a moment on ways in which our culture at the minute really needs wisdom. But then I want to reflect on us personally to finish. So I was thinking about this week. I was really struck by the thought that our culture is starving for wisdom. I wonder if you would agree with me. There's never been a generation with so much knowledge, and we've learned so much as human beings about science and medicine and psychology and history and language and technology and so on and so on and so on. There's never been a generation with so much information, and you can access it all so quickly using a little device that you hold in your hand. The whole of the knowledge that's been stored up by human beings over all of history, and you can access it with the touch of a few buttons. And yet, would you describe us as a generation full of wisdom? Wisdom is about skill in living. It's about knowing how to live well in relationship to God, to other people, and to the creation. I think at its heart, that's what wisdom is, living well in relationship. Is there a lot of wisdom as you look around in our culture? The poet T.S. Eliot, back in 1934, I'm always amazed that this wasn't written by somebody in our information age, as we call it, but writing in 1934, T.S. Eliot wrote, "All our knowledge brings us near to our ignorance. All our ignorance brings us nearer to death. But nearness to death, no nearer to God. Where is the life we've lost in living? Where is the wisdom we've lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we've lost in information?" I think those words get truer as we look at our culture today. So many voices expressing so many opinions in our culture, but where can you hear the voice of wisdom? Maybe sometimes we think we found a wise voice we can trust, and we make them our guru and our teacher and our guide, and we read all their books and watch all their videos. But I think, like Israel with Solomon, we always end up disappointed and disillusioned. And so that's our culture. I think our culture is starving for real wisdom. But let me bring it to the personal. What about you? What are you waiting for? Maybe you might say this morning, you say, "John Mark, I agree with you, what you're saying about our culture. Our world is a basket case. Our world has lost the plot. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come and sort it all out." And as we've reflected already this morning, that is a vital and central part of our hope, that Jesus will appear, and so wisdom will appear, and he will judge the living and the dead, and we can trust him completely to judge wisely and do what is right, and he will establish a kingdom of peace and justice. That passage in Isaiah 11, speaking about the one who will come full of wisdom, goes on to say, "He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth." Right? So isn't that a beautiful image? Wisdom, the one who is completely wise will be on the throne and making the decisions for everyone. What a day that will be, right? So we look to that day and we say, like the book of Revelation, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." But I also want to say this morning, and it's kind of the last thing we want to reflect on. We don't need to wait for that future day to experience the wisdom of God in our lives, because he promises to come to where we are now and give the spirit of truth, and give wisdom to anyone who asks. It says in the book of James, if we ask him for wisdom, he gives it generously to all without finding fault. How's that for a promise? And so I want to just take a moment. Let's take just a moment to reflect, and then we're going to pray and sing. Maybe you want to close your eyes just as we reflect. Or you can stare at the carpet if you prefer. But I want to encourage you just for a moment to reflect. Where are the places in your life right now where you are aware that you really need wisdom, or that you really lack wisdom? And maybe it's a situation in your family, with your marriage, or with your kids, or with your parents. Or maybe it's a situation in your work, or in some of your friendships, or in some other area of your life. Maybe it's something you're struggling with internally that nobody else knows about. But I wonder where in your life right now is there a place where you've reached the end of your own wisdom and you've tried to use your best thinking. And maybe you've looked for wisdom from other people and you've asked for advice, but you still feel perplexed. You don't know what to do. Just take a moment and bring those specific things to mind. I want to encourage you, Advent is a time to pause and be quiet and pay attention to those hard places in our lives where we are stuck or hurting or sad or overwhelmed or perplexed. And we name them before God. And we wait for the Lord. So just in the quiet, just name those places in your life to God where you feel your need for wisdom, your lack of wisdom. And as we bring those situations in our lives, those places in our lives to God, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, we are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. And I want to encourage you this morning. Why are we not in despair? Because Jesus has come, and so wisdom has come and walked among us. Because Jesus will come again, and so wisdom will come and reign forever. But also because right here, right now, where we are struggling or overwhelmed or defeated or confused or lost or sad or perplexed, Jesus comes by his Spirit and he brings wisdom from on high, from above. Wisdom we could never have found by ourselves. Wisdom given as a gift to those who wait. So I'm going to invite the band. You'll be glad to know we're going to sing not all seven verses, a few selected verses. And we're going to let this be our closing prayer. We're going to sing it as a prayer together. But let me encourage you. If there's something where you're really aware of being your need for wisdom,